your Bibles out. Brother Jorgensen will come in just a moment. Brother Jorgensen, I have water here for you. And there's a handheld if you need it. Dr. Jim Jorgensen is an amazing man. I have no problem saying this, and my wife will tell you, I don't say it about many, but Brother Jorgensen is one of my heroes. There is not a person in the ministry still active today responsible for more people serving God full time than that man right there.
Praise the Lord.
I know without a doubt it's over 10,000, and it's probably into the tens of thousands that he has been overseeing and helping to train to go out and do God's work full time. If he had 10,000 or more people that he is training to do just what we're doing in this church today, imagine the influence he's had worldwide. He's trained missionaries, pastors, Christian school teachers, full-time laymen, you name it, tens of thousands that he's responsible for. What a good man. And I know this, I've known him for 33 plus years, still preaching and believing and living the same thing he did over three decades ago. This is a good man, a solid man. This is a man that's very balanced. Dr. Jorgensen is a very capable man. He's got earned doctorates. He's an intellect. He thinks way above me, which that doesn't take much. Princeton. Can you take that one out for me? You'll give it a good twist or two, right? Here's a man that is a Princeton graduate, went to Bible college, and served under Dr. Lee Robertson, met his dear wife. I believe you were a bus kid or just grew up under Dr. Robertson there in Chattanooga. Sweet people. With all of his intellect, with all of his ability, it's a man that still loves his bus route, still loves bus kids. There was one thing, you know, when you're 18 years old, Bible college, you got the world figured out and you know how to do everything. And a man like Brother Jorgensen gets up, and we were in a college at that time running well over 2,000 students, and it gets to be pretty rough administratively. But he'd get up and preach in chapel, and the tears would run down his face as he'd tell about stories of his bus kids. And I thought, I'd like to be like that man. I hope someday I could be like him. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I hope Dr. Jorgensen knows how much I love him someday. I hope someday I'll be able to pay him back for his investment. Not just for me. He's helped train all three of my children. These are great people. And I mean this in every sense of the word biblically. You are around greatness when you're around Dr. and Mrs. Jim Jorgensen. I love them. I appreciate them. Fundamental to the core. And I mean that. Fundamental to the core. This is a great man. I'm excited for you to hear him, Brother Jorgensen. Come preach to us, please.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Go ahead and have a seat. And it's good to be here. I really think that they wanted to get my wife up here to speak for the ladies, and they were afraid that she wouldn't come if I didn't go with her. And so they invited me to come and preach on Sunday. But anyhow, it is good to be here, and I'm Marilyn Jorgensen's husband, if you were there yesterday, I guess. It's good to be around. I appreciate Brother Bush and the opportunity to be here. I think this is the fourth time been here, last time in 2016. And I think that's true. If it isn't, you may hear another sermon that I've preached here before. But I think that's right. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to be in the ministry and a blessing to be here. Appreciate the Bush family and the children. Of course, we got Mindy there at the college now. She's always encouragement and a blessing to be around. Just the whole thing. Thank you for the opportunity and the gifts and snacks and motel and everything else, meals. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I think you've been seated for a little while. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I'm going to read just a few verses. Why don't you stand while we read it and make sure you're at least awake at the beginning of the message. And Philippians chapter 4. It should be easy for me to find. Ephesians, Philippians, there it is. Philippians chapter 4, start maybe in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound in everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would be with us today, guide in the message. Pray, Holy Spirit, you'd guide my words and my mind, help me to emphasize what I shouldn't, leave out the other things. Pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to hearts while I speak to ears, and you'd do a work in each of our hearts, including mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. I think I'm going to move that down there, and I'll just stay on this. Or I think if I move a little bit, you can still hear me.
Yes,
are you trying to record anything?
Yes, sir.
You are? Okay, I'll try and stay close enough that it can pick me up then. But anyhow, I want to preach today really just on that one verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And, you know, as you think about different things in life and things that you want to do and things you ought to do, you know, you've got a promise in the Word of God. You and I have a promise in the Word of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And, you know, if I, you know, pretty big promise. And the promises of the Word of God are great, and they're always true. They're always right. Now, as you look at that promise, that means Christ is going to strengthen you to do everything that's in his will. Now, obviously, if Christ is strengthening me to do it, he's not going to strengthen me to do things that aren't in his will.
That's right.
You know, he's only going to strengthen me to do things that are in his will. Sometimes as I get into things and, you know, things I'm wanting to do aren't in the will of God, and I feel like, man, why can't I do this anyhow? Why can't I do this anyhow? God, it says I can do all things. No, it says I can do all things through Christ,
yes,
which strengtheneth me. And Christ isn't going to strengthen me to do anything that he doesn't want me to do.
That's right.
And some of that may be things that are wrong or things that are sinful. Some of it may be things that aren't necessarily wrong or sinful. They're just not what God wants me to do. And not where God wants me to put my time, not where he wants me to put my emphasis. You know, God didn't strengthen me to be a Major League Baseball player or an NFL star or anything else like that. None of that was his will. And to say, well, you know, I was in a public high school, a couple thousand kids, 700 in my three grades, grades 10 through 12 we had back then in high school, and didn't have any middle school. It was just junior high, grades 7, 8, and 9, high school, grades 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, I couldn't even make basketball team at all. And I could have said, well, God, why won't you strengthen me? You know, I want to be first string on a basketball team. I want to play, get a basketball scholarship, and go to the greatest basketball school in the world. Back then, I thought it was Indiana. Now I think it's Kentucky. And, you know, or whatever. But, you know, it's you know, God is not going to strengthen you just to do whatever you want. God's going to strengthen you to do what he wants you to do.
That's right.
And if you think about it, I can do all things in the whole verse. It's I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yes, sir.
And so Christ is going to help you and enable you to do what you ought to do. Heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. on a tape years ago, or CD, you know, I don't know what it was, didn't have a CD back when I heard it, probably some kind of a tape, recorded message. Anyhow, he was preaching and you know, on this verse, and I remember the part, I don't remember much of the message, but I remember him saying, you know, that means you can do anything you ought to do. Whatever you ought to do, you can do.
Right.
And God will help you to do what he wants you to do. Now, Satan may help you to do what he wants you to do. Or I don't know how it enables, but he at least can make it easy sometimes or tempting for us at times to do things that he wants us to do.
That's right.
But God will enable me to do what God wants me to do. And so as I look at my life, Satan may set up circumstances to make it easy for you or easy for me to do things that are wrong or things that I shouldn't do. And, regardless of what that would be, you know, God wants me to go to church. God's going to enable me to go to church. Satan may set up circumstances to make it hard for me to go to church, difficult for me to go to church, inconvenient for me to go to church. And there are times you get sick and so on, you know, and as I'm getting so old, as the preacher pointed out, you know, you get older and older, and it's harder and harder to get there. But, God wants me to go to church. There are times you can't, but on the other hand, I don't pray, God, help me get there.
Amen.
I don't be in church. And Satan will make it easy, tempting, difficult sometimes to do what God wants you to do. Look, the fact that there are obstacles, it's hard to do right, doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do. Sometimes people look at life and they say, well, you know, I kind of wanted to do this, but it was really, there was a lot of opposition. There were hardships involved. And so I guess that must not be God's will. I'm going to do something else. No, that's not true.
That's right.
Because Satan, a lot of times, is going to make it difficult for you to do what God wants you to do. He'll set up circumstances in your way and make it harder to do what God wants you to do. But I can still do what God wants me to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yes.
Christ will enable me to do what he wants. You think about the nation of Israel leaving Egypt. God wanted them to leave. And most of us know the story, or at least the outline of it. And God told Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh didn't want them to go. And he kept saying, no, you can't go. They had all the different plagues. Finally, the plague of the firstborn son of everybody that didn't have the blood over the doorpost, died that night. And Pharaoh got upset and said, that's it, get out of here. And sent them off. And so they're leaving. Then he changed his mind, or the people changed his mind, said, how are we going to make all these bricks or whatever? Anyhow, so his army comes chasing them. They're going to bring them back. God wanted them to leave.
Yes, sir.
Got to the edge of the Red Sea, got the Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh's army behind you. It's hard to do what God wanted you to do. Seems like there's no way. So the people, God's people, could have said, well, I guess this must not have been God's will. It's really hard. We'll just go back and stay under Pharaoh and stay in Egypt. A picture of the old life and sinful life. Stay there. It's too hard to do right. Too hard to follow God. But they didn't do that. Thanks to Moses' leadership and the faith of the people, they said, God, we want to do it. You told us to come this way. What are we going to do? God told them, go forward.
Amen.
I'm going to part the sea. They went through on dry ground. Pharaoh's army started chasing them. Water came back, drowned all Pharaoh's army.
Man.
God will enable you to do what he wants you to do,
Yes. But
that doesn't necessarily mean there won't be opposition.
That's right.
That it won't be hard. That you won't have people who say, man, why are you doing that? Why are you spending so much time in church? Why are you doing this? Or you won't do that anymore. And family sometimes will be against you and say, or give you a hard time. Say, man, you know, that just doesn't seem right. Why are you? Why won't you go out with me anymore? And, it'd be easy. Satan makes it easy and tempting to turn back and do what you shouldn't be doing. But Christ will enable me and will enable you to do what he wants you to do.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul wrote, a great door and effectual is open unto me. Paul said, man, you know, here I am at this stage of my ministry. I have a great door and effectual is open. You're thinking, oh, wow, that means a great open door. You're going to go out and all the opposition's gone, and you're going to be able to just go forward. But the second half of that verse says, and there are many adversaries.
Yes, sir.
He didn't even say, but. You'd think Paul would have said, a great door and effectual is open to me, but, you know, on the other side, I got this open door, but on the other side, I got all these adversaries. Well, Paul says, I got the open door, and there are many adversaries. You got an open door, an opportunity to go forward, like a new building. There it is, like a new building. And you say, man, you know, God's given us an opportunity. We can go forward. Man, if it's God's will, how come there's adversaries? Because Satan doesn't want you to go forward.
That's right.
Why'd they get a new drainage guy or whatever? Oh, yeah. Expect adversaries.
Yes, sir.
I was talking to Russell Anderson the other day. He said to tell Brother Bush hello. He said, man, if you just don't ever try and build anything in West Virginia, Brother Jim. I thought, well, I had not much worry about that. I'm not going to try and build anything in West Virginia. He said, man, they got so many things going on up there, make it so difficult, but they're going to get it done.
Yes, sir.
And you expect opposition when you want to, when you're doing right.
Yes, sir.
A great door and effectual is open. I've got opportunities here. I've got opportunities to read, study my Bible. I got opportunities to witness without fear of going to jail. I got opportunities. God gives me to give. I've got opportunities. Yeah, and there's opposition to it, and even some from without, maybe some from within. But Christ will enable you to do what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Deal with heartaches, and all of us have heartaches in our life. And Christ will enable you to do whatever he wants you to do. You look at different things in life. Whether you're thinking about financial issues, and you're talking about the building, everything else. Look, I know God wants me to tithe.
Amen.
As far as that goes, most of God's will I know in this book.
That's right.
But I know God wants me to tithe. That was in my outline here. Problems, financial, tithe. I know God wants me to tithe.
Yes, sir.
And somebody says, well, I just don't see how I can do it. Christ will enable you to do what he wants you to do.
Yes,
amen. So, well, I just don't. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to start doing it then.
Amen.
And just see what happens. And go forward with it. And you'll have opposition. You'll say, well, I don't know, but on the other hand, I don't think, and so on. You've got problems dealing with time and church, and I ought to go soul winning, but Christ will enable you to, I just don't know if I could do it. Christ will enable you to do what you ought to do. I don't know if I could teach a Sunday school class. I don't know if I could work on a bus. I don't know if I could drive a bus. Christ will enable you to do what he wants you to do.
Amen.
It's not God's will for everybody to teach a Sunday school class. It's not God's will for everybody to drive a bus. It is God's will for everybody to witness.
Yes, sir.
You ought to grab some of these tracts when you leave. You don't have any, and pass one out to somebody before you come back next week.
Amen.
At least, and invite your neighbors to church, if nothing else.
Amen.
So I'm going to do that as soon as we get a new building. Wouldn't hurt if you invited them now. As far as that goes, it'd be okay if they came today.
Amen.
And take something out. You say, well, I get embarrassed or I feel awkward doing it. Christ will enable you to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God wants you to do that, say, well, if I took that over and gave one to my neighbor, and even if you don't, you at least take one over and say, hey, I really like this church. It's where I've been going. You see me leaving every Sunday morning. Why don't you come visit sometime? It's really helped me. And, it'd be a good thing. Brother Fugit talked about our neighbors. They all think we're kind of odd anyhow. Looking out their windows, and 9:15 or so on Sunday morning, they look out the window and say, there they go. 5:30 Sunday night again, there they go.
Man.
6:30 Wednesday night, there they go. Next Sunday morning, there they go. Next Sunday night, one day we'll hear the trumpet, we'll be going up, and they'll say, there they go.
Yeah.
I mean, you at least take card, tract here, and hand it to somebody or somebody at work and say, this is where I go to church. I don't know if you've got a church or not, but you might want to come visit ours. We really enjoy it. It's a great place.
Yes, sir.
And went out visiting soul winning a little bit with both Barnes yesterday. And, everybody where we were knew about the new building. Oh, yeah, you guys are, we're from Grace Baptist Church, he'd say, or I'd say. And they'd say, oh, yeah, you guys are building that new building over there, aren't you? And that makes it easy. It gives you a way to get in. And hard as it is to build anything, probably you're the only ones building much of anything new around here.
That's right.
But there'd be problems. You know, my problem is somebody says, I just can't get along with my wife. I just can't get along with my husband. I can't get along with my kids. I can't get along with my mother-in-law. Well, God doesn't expect that. You know, I can't get along with, I've got people that I, you know, in my family, and I'd like to get along, and I don't want to fight all the time, but I just, something happens, and I lose my temper, heard a lesson on that today, or I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Yes, sir.
Is it God's will I be kind to my wife?
Yes, sir.
So I can do it. Is it God's will you be kind to me? So you can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, let me say this. As you look at that verse, the other half of it, you know, the other part of it, the other emphasis is, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have to do,
yes, sir,
what God wants me to do.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You know, somebody saved recently? Brother Bush did. And I had a man saved last Saturday. A week ago, we didn't have anybody saved yesterday. Had a man saved a week ago, a witness to. Brother Fisher, one of our other, he was here with tour group last year, and he led a fellow of the Lord in the college lobby a couple weeks ago. You know why Brother Bush had that man saved? When was one of the last ones you had? When was it? 6 years ago?
No, sir.
Monday. You know why he had that man saved Monday? Because he witnessed to him. You know why he led him to the Lord and you didn't? Because he witnessed to him and you didn't. You may have witnessed somebody else got saved.
That's right.
God is not going to do for you what you can do, I don't think.
Right.
And I mean, you know, I've heard that said before, but thinking through and thinking about this verse, I've got to do what I can do.
Yes,
you know, I mean, reason I was able to lead that man to the Lord last Saturday was I was there.
Man.
Nice story. My wife and I were out visiting on a bus route. We personally visit on a bus route just about every week. We're in Lexington. And last Saturday, we were out on the Winchester bus route. I think Mindy's working on that route again. And hardly anybody goes soul winning out there, so there are a lot of possibilities, you know. And that's supposed to be a kind of a joke. But anyhow. But we knocked on the door, and a fella came to the door, and I said, hi, my name's Jim Jorgensen, this is my wife, Marilyn, I'm one of the assistants over at Claysmill Baptist Church. According to the notes I get, and I have these papers in my hand, according to notes I get, some of the kids here ride up one of our Sunday school buses. And the fella says, no, the kids, you know, the kids that you're looking for have moved, but you came to the wrong house, or came to the right house. Kids that you're looking for have moved, but you came to the right house. And I said, oh, you mean they kind of like they're at a cousin's, but they're back, and they'll be here on Sunday some, you know, because sometimes, you know, you get two or three different houses and the kids move around. And he said, no, the kids you're looking for have moved, but you came to the right house. We went around that a couple times. And then he said, you know, the other day I was going through some stuff, and I found this Bible that I was given when my dad passed away. While back, so a year ago, something like that. And he said, he was really into that stuff. And I've been thinking about that. I said, so you mean I came to the right house for this conversation? And I got my New Testament out, and he was eager to get saved.
Amen.
And, you know, just ready. Had tears of joy working on getting him in church.
Amen.
And now, you know why I was able to lead him to the Lord? I was there. I witnessed. I didn't have to go. Could have stayed, you know, could have stayed home and done projects around the house, worked on raking the leaves up, worked on, you know, fixing up things, switching out light bulbs, cleaning up, getting ready for winter. I mean, I don't know, getting my Christmas decorations out. Nothing wrong with any of that. But on the other hand, I thought, no, it's Saturday morning. This is when I go soul winning. I'm going. When we go soul winning, we're going. We went.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, the Holy Spirit's got to speak to his heart for him to get saved.
Right.
Can't just be human reasoning. But I can pray, Holy Spirit, lead me to the house where somebody's ready.
Yes, sir.
Got a friend who likes to pray, I'm looking for the one that's looking for me.
Yes, sir.
And you knock on some doors, people, no, well, that's not the one.
That's right.
So I had to discourage you? No, I just feel like, okay, that wasn't the one. Somebody else isn't home, that wasn't the one. Somebody else, I'm already saved, that's wonderful, that wasn't the one. Somebody else, I found this Bible the other day that I was given at my dad's funeral. I've been thinking about that. That was the one.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me, but I have to do it. You have to do it. You can win souls, but you must witness. You can build a bus route, but you have to work. You can, you know, I'm preaching to college students this, you can pass classes, but you have to study and do the work. You can teach a Sunday school class, but you have to study and visit and pray. You say, I just don't know if I can do a Sunday school class. Yeah, you can't. I mean, Christ will help you to do what he wants you to do, but you have to do what you have to do.
Yes, sir.
You know, you can't just get up and say, God, give me words to say as I teach a Sunday school. No, there better be some preparation.
Yes, sir.
Some study.
Yes, sir.
And I told college students, I mean, don't pray, God, help me pass this class. Pray, God, help me to remember these Bible verses that I'm studying.
Amen.
One of the teachers that just announced, and I preached something like this at the college, just announced we're going to have a Bible verse quiz on, you know, a week from tomorrow on some, I don't know, whatever it was they were studying in Thessalonians or something. I think Bible verse quiz. I said, man, don't pray, God, help me pass that quiz. Pray, God, help me to remember these verses that I'm studying. Because God isn't going to do for you what you and I can do for ourselves.
That's right.
And so if I want to be a soul winner, I'm going to have to witness. If I'm going to want God to bless my finances, I'm going to have to be a tither. If I want God to, you know, I've got to do what I can do with it.
Yes, sir.
Don't pray, God, help me pay my bills. Pray, God, give me a good job. Help me to work, go faithfully. Give me strength to work. Give me restraint in my spending. Most of us, the problem isn't that we don't have enough coming in. We just got too much going out. We say, where'd all that money go?
Mm-hmm.
$5 here, $3 there, $20 someplace else. Where'd it all go? Oh, it's just gone. Now I don't have enough to tithe this week, Brother Bush. I sure am sorry. Don't tell him, tell God.
That's right.
Now I don't have enough to pay the rent. Now I don't have enough to buy groceries. Now I don't have enough. You know, why don't we pray, God, give me restraint in my spending.
Yes, sir.
Help me to work hard on my job. Help me to get done what I ought to do.
Hey.
We pray and think, well, God, help me have a good marriage. Whether I'm a husband or wife, you know, again, I ought to come back and maybe and say, God, help me be kind.
Yes, sir.
That'd help your marriage.
That's right.
Help my marriage. God, help me be kind. What could I do to be kind? What's some kind words I could say today? God, help me be thoughtful. Help me be romantic. Help me be giving.
Yeah.
Help me be, you know, I mean, been married long as most of us have, or, you know, a while, you got a pretty good idea what makes your mate happy and what makes them unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's the same thing. You know, I mean, we want our mate to be thoughtful and kind and polite and considerate and interested, right?
That's right.
So then maybe, if I want to go to marriage, rather than just making some general prayer, God, help me to, you said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, give me a good marriage. Well, I pray, God, what could I do to be thoughtful this week? What could I say that would be an encouragement to her? Help me to, and not just even, you know, please give me something. Maybe I ought to sit down and think. What could I say to be an, what could I do that would be a blessing and encouragement to my wife? What could I say that would be a blessing, encouragement to my husband? I mean, again, it's a good relationship with loved ones. Some of you would say, well, I've got a son, I got a daughter, I got parents and or whatever, and you know, we just don't get along. We just fight all the time. We haven't spoken in 6 months, 2 years. We just don't get along. Well, instead of praying, God, please fix that, why don't we pray, God, what could you help me to do to fix it? God, what could I do? How could I reach out to them? What could I do that would be non-offensive, that would be a reach out, and something that I could do that would be thoughtful? You know, help me stop saying stuff I shouldn't say. Help me quit yelling. Be a good place to start. Nobody likes being yelled at. Even if even if they know what you're saying is true, I think.
That's right.
I mean, you know, God, you know, boy, you know, Brother Bush, I know I need to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray, God, help me read my Bible every day next year. You don't have to wait till next year. You can start this year.
That's right.
So, or you say, I want to read it through. You could start on Genesis 1 today as well as you could on January 1, far as that goes. But anyhow, the God help me read more of my Bible. Well, when? God's not going to, you know, automatically read your Bible to you. You're going to have, you and I, if we're going to read our Bible, we're going to have to figure out a time, place, way to do it. We're going to have to do it.
That's right.
God, I'd like to lead somebody to the Lord this year. You're going to have to witness.
That's right.
God, help me to pray more. I'm thinking maybe preach on prayer tonight. I'm not sure. But the God, help me pray more. Help me, you know, be neat if I had answer to prayer. Well, you have to pray.
Yes.
God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. You say, well, God, help me stop this sin or this habit in my life. Feed your mind on the right stuff. Serve God. Yes. Decide I'm going to do it. God will give you strength. There's no temptation taken you or me, but such as is common to man. God will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it.
That's right.
You know, but you and I, God is not going to make you do right. That's your decision. God won't do for you what you can. As far as that goes, God won't make you get saved.
That's right.
Talked a little bit about heaven here, the rapture, and he's talked about that kind of thing. You know, sooner or later, at some point, all of us, 100 years from tonight, every one of us is going to be in heaven forever, hell forever.
That's right.
Most of you look at me and you say, Brother Jordan's going to be a lot less than 100 years. I know that. But, you know, I mean, I'll go to heaven. You can go to heaven. You can have assurance you're going to heaven. Simple thing of realizing you're a sinner, Christ died. I have to trust Christ as my Savior. But in order to go to heaven or be saved, you have to make a decision. I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. Yeah. God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself.
That's right.
It's a matter of turning from trusting your righteousness to trusting Christ's righteousness. Right. And deciding I'm going to trust Him as my Savior. I got that settled October 7th, 1969. I thought, man, if I die, I don't remember a time in my life I didn't believe in God, but if I die tonight, I don't really know where I'm going. And I thought, I'm going to settle it. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. I deserve to die and go to hell. But I know Christ died to pay for my sins, and I called on Him to forgive me and save me. When He died 2,000 years ago, died for all my sins, even what I haven't done yet,
right.
Hadn't done any of them wrong when he died, but somehow God figured all that out, and so I got saved and I got it settled October 7th, 1969. That's it.
Man.
I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. So, well, haven't you sinned since then? Yep, but He died for those sins too.
Right.
And but God will not do. You know, you have to make a decision to say, okay, I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior.
Yes, sir.
You'll have an opportunity to do that here in a minute. God will enable you or give you strength. God, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, what He wants you to do. But you and I have to decide, I am going to do what God wants me to do. Because it's I can do. It doesn't say he will do.
That's right.
It says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me to do them. I've got to make a decision to be in church. I've got to make a decision to be the right kind of giver. I've got to make a decision to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife, the right kind of son or daughter. I've got to make a decision that I'm going to, that I'm going to be a witness, that I'm going to do this, and then God will enable you to do what he wants you to do when you and I decide to do it.
Yes, sir.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Wonder, first of all, if maybe there's somebody here today that would say, Brother Jorgensen, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of like you talked about there where, I believe in God, but I'm really not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I wonder if there'd be others that would say, and a few visitors here today, but I wonder if there'd be others that would say, Brother Jorgensen, God spoke to my heart about something that I need to do for Christ, whether it's witnessing or giving or family relationships or praying. And I know God will help me do it, but I've kind of been almost just waiting for him to do it. But I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to do it and ask him to help me with it. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I see a lot of hands all over. Maybe it's something, the ability and courage to quit something that you ought to quit. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. In a moment, I'll pray. And then after I pray, I'll turn the invitation over to Brother Bush and he'll conduct it from here. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that you're with us. That you enable us, you strengthen us to do whatever you want us to do. But God, give us the courage and the boldness and the commitment to do what you want us to do and then watch you get it done. Help us with that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Brother Bush.